Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, in our morning series, pastors preaching out of the book of Acts. And it's kind of fascinating. Have you ever thought about how did Christianity grow from a church in Jerusalem, about, you know, probably our size, a little bit larger, to over hundreds and thousands of churches in just less than 100 years? Throughout the entire known world, how was that even possible? How did that happen? In Acts chapter 1, right, you have 12 disciples. So you have this small gathering in the upper room. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that Jesus met, revealed himself to 500 believers. So in a little bit larger, but still. And then in Acts 28, we have the churches all across the Roman Empire. And then even into the second century, we had different historians and church fathers have records of churches in Africa and in Asia and all the way up in France and Britain. So how did that happen? How did that get there? And although there's a number of factors and a number of reasons why that is, I just want to focus here on one key principle that Paul shares with Timothy for this great multiplication of the church. And this is the concept of investing life on life. Let's read here in 2 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, verse 13, just to get some context here. Verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phlegelus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." And then chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then the verse we're going to focus on here tonight, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's begin with a word of prayer here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we can be here to worship you and to learn from your word. Lord, I just ask as we look into this principle, Lord, this verse found in 2 Timothy, the challenge that Paul gave to Timothy, that would you help me to not get in the way of what you want to share. Lord, that the truth here, would it penetrate each of our lives, and would you convict each of us of ways that we maybe aren't living it out like we should. And Lord, I pray, would you give me the words to speak what I speak, only what you would have for us here tonight. Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen. So 2 Timothy, I preached the first verse several months ago, and I really wanted to get into the second verse, but way back then I wasn't able to. There's too much there in that first verse. But then the second verse, I started to dive into it, and there's so much here as well. You have Paul, he's in prison, and he's close to death. He knows he's going to get executed soon, and so he reaches out and sends this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, this man that he trained and he mentored from a young man to now Timothy is a pastor, and he has a leadership position, and Paul is writing to Timothy and saying, "Timothy, these are really important. I'm going to be gone soon, but I don't want you to miss this. This has been key in my ministry, and this needs to be key in your ministry as well." And so we talked about several months ago, "Be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus," and Paul immediately follows that up with, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So first, I want to first just look at Paul's challenge to Timothy, and then the challenge to us. So there's three aspects of this verse. The command to commit. Then what is being committed, and then who is being committed to. So first, the command to commit. Normally when we think of the word commit, we think of a New Year's Eve. or at least that's what I think of you know, the New Year's resolution. I'm going to commit to lose 20 pounds or exercise every day. That's been a commitment of mine for the last 5 years, and I have yet to do very much in that field. But commit. The idea of a promise or a duty or fulfilling something. I'm going to commit to doing that. But this word here, a commit, the same commit thou to faithful men, this has the idea of placing something down with someone else, of to deposit, to entrust someone else with something important, or to transfer responsibility. So, like the idea of depositing something in a bank. So, you know, when we get paid, we normally put our money and deposit it into a bank. We commit our money to the bank. We entrust it to take care of, we don't, you know, not digging it in a hole, but we entrust it to the bank to take care of, right? You know, in a couple weeks, we're going to have children in our building, and their parents are going to commit them to us. And we are now responsible for what happens, right? The idea of that taking responsibility, of entrusting something important to someone else. In Psalms, David uses the same verse, the same word, to describe his commitment, his surrender to the Lord. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Here, David puts his trust in God to guide him. He entrusts his life, his way, what's going to happen in the future. He says, "Lord, I don't know, but I'm going to commit myself to you. I'm going to entrust my life and all the facets of it to you." And in 1 Timothy, Paul uses this word to commit another challenge to Timothy. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Paul entrusts a charge to Timothy. It is now his responsibility to fight the good fight. He encourages him and gives him this strong admonition. And in the same way, in this verse here, Paul is telling Timothy, commit, entrust. But what is to be committed? What is to be entrusted? Well, the things that Timothy had heard from Paul. You think about it. For years and years, Paul had brought Timothy along with him. Timothy was just a young man in the town where he grew up in Lystra and Derbe, and his trained by his mother and his grandmother. And Paul, he came through and he found this young man that was faithful and that wanted to serve the Lord. And so Paul took Timothy along with him on his missionary journeys. He mentored Timothy. He trained Timothy. And even when they were apart, Paul wrote, you know, several letters of exhortation to Timothy and encouraging and challenging him. And, "Hey, Timothy, here's what you need to look for in your elders in the church. Timothy, here's, you need to be, you know, watch out for these false teachers. Timothy, do this. Timothy." Paul taught Timothy so much. Whether it is doctrine and just the fundamental truth of who God was, how to handle the Word of God, to discern against false teachers and false doctrines, he taught him how to pray. He taught him by telling him, but also by living it. How to be a man of God. How to live the Christian life, not in Paul's strength or in Timothy's strength, but in God's strength. How to minister, practical things, how to be a leader, how to serve. All these things over years and years, Paul taught Timothy these things. And then he caps it up with this one phrase that says, "Hey, Timothy, you remember all the things I taught you? I want you to entrust those things to others." Paul told Timothy in verse 13 of chapter 1 here, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." That good thing which was committed unto thee, this truth and this doctrine that I gave you over and over again, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. That don't lose it, Timothy. Don't forget what I've taught you. Hold on to it, and the Spirit will help you. The Holy Spirit will help you remember those things that I've taught you, those things I've instructed you. All of this, Paul instructed Timothy to entrust all of that knowledge and experience. Now go entrust it to someone else. And who was he supposed to entrust it to? To faithful men. And at this time, Timothy was a leader in the church where he was at. He was a pastor and probably very influential in the other areas, in the area as well. And Paul tells Timothy to seek out faithful men who can be trusted with teaching others the Word of God. To be leaders in the church, to be deacons, to be faithful servants. Paul doesn't say, Timothy, look for guys that have money. Yes, yeah, that's good. It'll help grow the church. And no. He doesn't say, Timothy, look for men who are educated. We need master's degrees. Doctorates are preferable, but master's degrees are fine as well. College experience, no, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, Timothy, find the men that are the most popular. Get them on your side. And no, don't look for people that will make you look better. No. Faithful men. Faithful to God and His Word. Not someone who will waver in what they believe. Not someone who's unreliable, who says, hey, sure, Pastor, I'll be there, and doesn't show up. Someone who's trustworthy, who remains true to what the Bible says, who's a testimony in the church and a testimony in their community and in their workplace. These weren't supposed to be just lackadaisical Christians who just kind of, you know, went around, just did whatever. No, these were faithful men, faithful individuals. And these were men who were able to teach others. This wasn't a, hey, Timothy, teach men and trust things that I've taught to you. No, it goes a little bit further. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And although this verse mainly refers in context to elders in the church, the principle still applies to all believers. And this is the heart of discipleship. Here we have Paul, who has invested hours and hours with Timothy, discipling him and mentoring him, encouraging and challenging him in the things of God. And Paul is now telling Timothy to do the same thing in others, and then teach them to do the same thing in others. Okay, so what does this look like practically for us? How does a person live out this verse? So here's here's the challenge to us as believers. The three commands that we can take away from this verse. So number one, know the Word of God. Continue growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, this may be the most obvious one. You can't share what you don't know personally. I've tried. I worked at Hobby Lobby several years ago, and there'd always be, you know, someone come up to me like, hey, can you, I'm trying to look for, you know, the right kind of paint. Does this paint work? And they'd show me a paint can, and I have, there's acrylic, and then there's the other kind of paint. And I don't always remember. I kind of forget. You know, someone told me, and, you know, you're not supposed to have your phone at work, so you can't just look it up or search it on ChatGPT, the helpful resource. No. And so, you know, they, you know, have this can of paint, and they're like, hey, does this work for this? I'm like, yeah, see, yeah, I don't read the label. Yeah, it works on, and I, you know, listed out what the can said, and so I felt very smart. But you normally can't teach someone that you yourself don't already know, or that you yourself are not already living out. Every believer should be growing and knowing the Word of God. So first, in personal Bible study, do you read the Bible and study it on a daily basis? Do you understand what it means? Do you try to find answers, questions that you have or that you don't understand? I sometimes fall into the habit of you read the Bible and then, you know, a couple of things, oh, that's interesting. Or like, what? Why does it say that? Like, how does that work? I've been studying through 1 John, and there's a couple of verses in 1 John that kind of make you scratch your head and say, what is this being? It kind of seems to contradict this thing over here, and so then you got to look it up and search it up and like, oh, okay, that's what it means. It's like, I wish you would have said it like that way, but there's probably a way that makes sense. But no, those questions, don't just gloss over them. No, what does that mean? Don't just skip over what you don't understand. That's the whole point of Bible study. It's not Bible glossary or just that's not a verb, but just, you know, reading through it, right? No, Bible study, studying the Word of God. It's almost like, you know, I've never gone gold digging or gold mining or whatever you call that. But, you know, when you go out and search for gold and, you know, maybe, I don't know, if you have a pickaxe and, you know, that's a little more archaic. But, you know, you're going out and you're digging for gold, right? If you're digging in the ground and you chip up a piece of gold and you're like, oh, whoa, I got some gold. Yeah, it's awesome. You don't just stop, turn around, and say, I got gold, we're good to go. And you just have like a little speck, right? That's if you claim to be a gold digger, that's probably not the best strategy to succeed, right? No. If you strike gold, you're going to probably keep digging, at least, right? Maybe get some better equipment and be like, oh man, this is really good, right? And you're only going to be able to discover as much as you look, as much as you search. The more you study the Word of God, the more truths you're going to reveal. For any of you who have been saved for any length of time, you can read the Word of God over and over again in those same passages of Scripture. It's like, you know, I've read that millions and millions of times. And yet, there's always something that the Lord seems to bring to mind, or some truth that that seems to be emphasized when we read it again that different time. The longer we spend in the Word of God, when we actually seek to understand what God is saying, He will help us to understand. And there's a number of resources in our personal Bible study. Now, another way that we grow in knowing the Word of God is the next obvious one, is hearing it from others. You think, growing up as a young child, there's all those different children's songs, right? That there's some verses that I come across that I automatically have a song that's tied to it because of my mom. And we sang a lot growing up. Or just those verses of, children, obey your parents to the Lord, for this is right. Kind of skipped over half of it, but that idea, right, that I don't know why parents always teach that one first. I do, actually. It's very smart. But those verses, the verses of Scripture that our parents teach us, that the leaders and the teachers in our lives, that they share with us. When God's Word is preached, that's an opportunity to hear from Him. That's an opportunity to absorb His truth and to understand and pay attention and meditate and apply it to our lives. Because believe it or not, there's going to come a day when someone's going to ask you those questions. When someone's going to say, this seems contradictory. What does this mean? And then you think back to that message Pastor gave a couple weeks ago when he kind of clarified some of the background history and the Hebrew and Greek. Right? You're going to use what has been taught to you. There's a sobering thought if you think, how long have you been saved? I've been saved for a number of years. I was thankful to be saved, be in a Christian home growing up, and I trusted in Jesus Christ to save me when I was 5. So if I think from now to when the Lord saved me, all of those years, where am I at in the standing now? There's not like a technical graph, but in, you know, first saved, all the way to perfect Christian and believer, or perfect spirituality, or like the idea of the epitome of spirituality, right? Which, you know, we'll all get there in heaven, right? But in that graph, right, have you grown? Do you understand what you believe? Can you articulate what you believe? And can you defend the Word of God? Can you share with someone else what you believe? And there's sometimes that I wish I knew more. Sometimes I wish that I had maybe shared more and remembered more. And you know, over time, as you maybe don't articulate things, you don't think about things, you forget. At least that's for me. My brain is a little weak. But do you know what you believe? Can you articulate it? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We all are very familiar with this verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Are you where you should be spiritually? For years, Timothy received doctrine and instruction from his mother and from Paul. He learned and grew spiritually to the point where Paul then challenged him, now entrust God's word to others. So you think of over all your life, the amount of times that you've received God's word, do you know it? If God looked at you and He said, and could He make a replica of you and just copy paste? And the more copy and paste, this church would be filled and you would have a strong body of believers. Could the Lord replicate you and your life? the second clear command. The first one is know the Word of God. The second, entrust God's Word to others. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou, entrust thou, deposit, invest in others, into faithful men. You shall be able to teach others also. Again, the context is to elders, but it applies to all of us believers. And this is discipleship at its core. This is Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus told the disciples the Great Commission. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So give the gospel, share the Word of God, and then teaching them to observe, to obey, to follow all things whatsoever I, Jesus, the Lord, have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Taking a believer who knows Jesus as their Savior and teaching them the things of Christ, what you have learned, all that experience over the years that you've been saved, the preaching of the Word of God, your personal Bible study, depositing that in someone else, sharing your experiences, the trials that you've gone through, and how they pointed you to Christ. Those lessons that you've learned, challenging them to grow in your walk with God and being an encouragement. So what does this look like practically for us here tonight? Well, first, discipleship begins in the home. If we think about a mission field, we think about where the Lord has called you, it begins in Jerusalem, right, where you live. And for those of you who are parents, and today being Father's Day, right, your mission field is your home. Your mission field is your children. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. It's not just about behavior. It's about shaping hearts to follow Christ. Children are not only a gift from the Lord, but they should be your primary mission field of every mother and father. You talk about the idea of replicating you, of copy-paste. Well, just look at your children, right? God did that physically. Now, entrust what you've been taught to them spiritually. Their spiritual well-being is so important to God that He placed them in your responsibility. And you have the profound impact and privilege of at least roughly the first 18 years of their life. So what are you doing with those 18 years? Discipling your children should be a part of everyday life. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. See, discipleship isn't just a weekly devotional. It should be a daily, intentional, and natural thing. And you think about Timothy, right? His discipleship, his knowledge of the Scriptures didn't just begin with Paul. No, it began with his mother and with his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells us that when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and Paul's reflecting on the faith and of Timothy, he says, I remember which first dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded in thee also. That it began in his grandparents and his parents, and then to him. And his mother and his grandmother shared the Word of God to Timothy. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard, lest learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned of them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And the influence of a mother and her grandmother on a young boy that turned a young Timothy into one of Paul's most faithful and trusted students and leader in the early church. So share what God is teaching you to your children. Now, growing up in family devotions, we would go around and share something that we learned in our Bible study. We'd have a passage of Scripture that we would read all together, and then we'd talk and discuss it. But first, we'd say, okay, we'd go around and say, what did you read in your Bible today? And then someone would share just a short thing, and we kind of go around. And always, it was a good, I'm forgetting the word there, but the idea of to encourage them and also challenge them to make sure that they're reading the Word of God, to keep me accountable, that's the word, keeping me accountable to the Word of God. But also, what was really neat was when it came down over to my mother, and she would share what she was reading, and the application that the Lord showed her. But then it was always kind of neat, and whether in her passage or in the passage that we were all reading together, that, you know, even my mom would have questions, or, you know, questions we brought up. And I thought, wow, you know, my mom doesn't know everything. I thought she did. But, you know, that's in a way encouraging to me. It's like, you know, I don't know everything, but I can ask questions and find out, right? And then my dad would explain best he could. Or we'd all, you know, search things up and look at different commentaries or search different helps and things as well. But family devotions, or that accountability of reading God's Word. I've shared prayer requests. I can't tell you the number of times that, you know, the things that would come up in our family's lives. Or the financial situation over here, or just the hardship of something happening. And those sweet memories of all of us coming together and crying out to the Lord about it and praying and saying, Lord, we don't know what's going on, but we know you do. And then seeing God answer that, and seeing God bring us together, and seeing God answer prayer. And that in my life, when things come in and happen, or when I have a need, I know that I can take it to my Heavenly Father, and He hears me, and He listens, and He answers. And I know that not only from God's Word, but I also know that from experience by watching my parents. And could your children say the same thing of you? Do they see you pray? And do they see God answer prayer in your life and in your family's life? Seeing how you walk with God and showing that and leading by example to your children. And Pastor talked about this morning about men leading in prayer and praying for our families. And teaching your children how to pray, how to read the Word of God, how to serve, how to deal with conflict. Just practical discipleship and trusting what you've learned to your children. So not only is entrusting God's Word to others first has to be in our own home, in our children, and we could even talk about from spouse to spouse and that mutual encouraging and challenging of the Word of God. But also just entrusting the Word of God to other believers. Mentoring and discipling, first just the next generation. And I love it here at Marquette Manor. We have a wide demographic of older and middle and younger and even younger, right? We have that entire mix. And it's such an awesome opportunity for all of us to be an encouragement and a challenging to each other. In Titus chapter 2, Paul explains the pattern of mentorship that should exist in the local church. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." And then this is the aspect I want to look at, that the older women, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And it goes on. And Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you instruct and help encourage the older men, and then teach the younger men, and then have the older women encourage and instruct and disciple the younger women, right? But then that should be happening all throughout the church. And the older faithful believers that have been saved for a number of years, instructing and taking alongside the younger men, and mentoring and discipling them and encouraging them and say, hey, I've been there. I've struggled with that. I've had to work through that with my children, and being an encouragement and a blessing to them. Same thing with older women and to the younger. Coming alongside another believer and encouraging them in the Lord. It can be something as simple as, hey, you know, want to go out for coffee, and then just chatting. Or as, you know, that friendly word on Sunday of, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, here's something that the Lord taught me here this week. Or even just sending a text out. And I know there's been a number of times that, you know, I have several friends that, you know, we share what we've been reading in our Bibles every now and then, and you know, someone will send something out, and it'll be like, that's what I needed, that's the encouragement that I needed this morning. Can you be that blessing for someone else. To pray for them. To challenge them in the Lord. To listen to them. To share the lessons that God has taught you and to strengthen and encourage each other in your spiritual walk. You think about Moses, how he trained and mentored Joshua. Elijah mentoring Elisha. Jesus mentoring his disciples. Barnabas mentoring Paul. And then Paul mentoring Timothy. And then in Acts 18, we have Priscilla and Aquila, just a couple in the church. And there's this young man that was preaching the word of God, but he hadn't been updated. He didn't get the new version that, hey, Jesus is here. The Messiah is here. And so they took him under their wing. They took Apollos under their wing, and they taught him, instructed him, and he became a great leader and preacher in the church. This couple, they saw a need. They saw a young man and said, hey, we can help him. We can encourage him. We can challenge him. They probably took him to the coffee shop in that town, and they said, hey, let's open the Word of God, and let's walk through some things, right? I think I've mentioned it before, but my mom has these young ladies in our church that she calls her coffee girls. And she calls them that because initially, a lot of the way that she met them or interacted with them was in the coffee shop. Or when they visited the church that first time, she'd be like, hey, how's it going? And then she's like, I don't know how she does it, but my mom's really amazing. But then, you know, she'd be like, hey, we should go out for coffee. And of course, I guess the new generation now, I don't drink coffee, but I'll take some. But the new generation now loves coffee. And so then she'd be like, hey, we should go get some coffee. And then they would go to the coffee shop and chat. And that encouragement, that challenge. And we've seen it bear fruit in the church back in Southport in Kenosha. And that these young ladies and bringing their husbands and that aspect of discipleship, of training them. And just sometimes it's just listening. And you know, when you've had a bad day, a bad week, and just to kind of have someone listen to you. And then for them to listen and then encourage you in the Word of God, not just say, oh, that's a bummer. But then just remind you and say, you know, God is good. And you're like, yeah, you know, I've been there. And God is still good. Mentoring and discipling, not just from, you know, the older to the younger, but also just believer to believer. And, you know, more than just chatting about the weather on Sunday, right? But, you know, the accountability, the encouragement and challenge to grow in the Lord. And to be like, you know, hey, I'm struggling in this area over here. And then, you know, can you pray for me? And then serving together. I have a friend of mine, a college buddy, and we text every now and then, and we keep each other accountable in our Bible study as much as possible. And just, you know, hey, this is what Lord's teaching me. Hey, what are you reading in your Bible now? And, you know, and every now and then, and I have a friend down in North Carolina. Every now and then, you know, we can't call all the time. We're busy. But every now and then, we're just kind of call and talk. And it's always it always fascinates me the discussions we get into. That are really spiritually encouraging and are a challenge to me and kind of identify like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about it that way. I need to kind of reorient myself in the truth of what God's Word says and just from our conversation. But having that those individuals, those believers that you connect with and that you go more than just talking about how life is to talking about, hey, how are you doing in the world? But then even further than that, right, the other application as found in the book of Acts, and this reason that the church grew from just a handful of believers to so much more than that, the core principle was in sharing it with new believers. Of you have a believer in the church, or someone who gets saved and comes to the church, or maybe even, you know, maybe they're not as faithful, but they get saved. And then you recognize that and you come and you say, hey, how's it going, brother? How's it going, sister? Let me disciple you. Let me share with you what God's teaching me. And whether that looks like, you know, walking through a discipleship program and we have a number of resources here. Or whether that's just simply just meeting with them occasionally or talking with them, like my mom did with these ladies. And they were newly saved. and just encouraging and challenging them to the Lord and saying, hey, here's what I do for my Bible reading. And sharing with them how to study the Word of God. What it looks like to share the gospel. The key principles. And then, you know, maybe even taking them out soul winning. Imagine that. And sharing the Word of God. And entrusting to them what you've been taught. All those messages, all those hours of Sunday school lessons, of those challenges from your parents, from the preaching, from pastor, and from here at the church, and using that and sharing that and investing that in somebody else's life. And that is discipleship. Discipleship isn't necessarily walking down a form and answering questions and filling it out. And that's one aspect of discipleship for sure. And we have a number of resources that are very helpful in walking through the aspects of the Word of God that the new believer should be strong and should know, in baptism and in sharing the gospel and in Bible reading and a number of other things, and addressing distinction and separation from the world and following and obeying the Word of God. But simply entrusting to others what we have been taught. And then showing by example and sharing with them how to entrust it to others. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And see, it wasn't just about Paul giving all this information, knowledge, and experience to Timothy. Timothy wasn't supposed to just hold on to that. Timothy was to hold on to that and to give it to someone else. That's the book of Acts. Jesus trained and mentored his disciples, and they shared the gospel, and people got saved. I mean, you think about it. The pastor mentioned it last week or so, 3,000 believers. 3,000 people got saved in that first message. You think about the follow-up there. That's a bit of a time and commitment there. But then you have to have discipleship. And it's not just years and years of let's go through this book, and then after the 5-year program, then you can go on. No, but it was, here, let me invest in you what I've been taught here, and let me show you how to do it in somebody else's life, and then I'll help, and then we'll each help each other. And then there's a friend of mine, he led someone to the Lord, and then he was walking through a discipleship program with them, and one of the lessons was giving the gospel. And so that man, he was all excited and fired. He's like, I'm saved. And he went and shared it with his friend, his brother. And that person got saved. And so then he started a discipleship program with him. And so my friend, he would walk through a lesson with this new believer. And then he would, the next day or later on in the week, my friend and this new believer, and then the person that he led to Christ, they'd all get together. And then he would share it with his brother. And train him, the lesson that he had just had the day before, the week before, and he would share it with them. And that's the idea of this. That's this principle. That's the whole secret key to the book of Acts, of sharing it with someone else and then sharing it with someone else. But of course, all of this requires dependence on the grace of Christ. You can't disciple someone if you yourself are not invested in the Word of God. If you yourself are not in God's Word yourself, if you're not accessing the grace of God to share His truth with others, if you're not seeking God for wisdom and direction and to clearly teach the Word of God. I talk about that verse in James of, that they're proud that God is far from them. You can't walk into it with the concept of, I have some great truth from God that I'm going to give somebody and look at me go, right? God doesn't honor that. And that person will not be as blessed without the sincerity and humility of committing what you've been given to someone else, what God has been teaching you to someone else. And I think even just that simplistic thing of, when was the last time you shared with someone else what God has been teaching you? When was the last time that you read your Bible, and and, and, and God showed something to you, and God, you know, how you could apply it in your life, or a truth of God that you need to be reminded of. And you just sent, maybe it's just a short verse to someone else as an encouragement. Or you shared it with someone at work, and you know, Lord used that and led it to sharing the gospel. But what is your life all about? Is it about the Lord, the Word of God? As Paul sat in prison near the end of his life, he remained focused on his goal to make disciples who would live out the gospel. Paul invested life on that. He took Timothy, he took Titus, a number of other young men and other young people with him on his missionary journeys, and he trained them and he said, hey, let me do it with you. Right? This principle isn't just a pastor's responsibility. A command for every believer. Know the Word of God, live it out, and share it with others. Whether that's the new believers, whether that's to your children, or to other believers in the church. God isn't looking for the most talented, educated, or popular people. He is looking for faithful men and women who are willing to learn and to live out the truth. Pass it on. So are you growing in the Word of God? Are you actively investing in others? Are you faithful with the people that God has put in your sphere of influence? I just think of the impact that certain people had in my life. Whether it was a simple encouragement of, you know, I remember when I was five, and I had a new suit on and tie. And there's that one old lady in the second row, or maybe it was the third row, who was like, are you preaching tonight? You know, I was like, oh, no. And, but, you know, I was so pumped, though. You know, and even I just remember that of, you know, God can use me. And when I started taking piano lessons and, you know, I flubbed through that first offertory, and they're like, oh, that was such a blessing. And I knew it probably wasn't. But it still made me feel good. We just think about the opportunity, the amount of opportunity in this building right now to reach not just those in this church, but also the community. What are you doing to invest in others? Whether you're a parent, a teacher, a student, a friend, you are called to be a disciple. And to make disciples. The mission didn't end with Paul or Timothy. It continues with us. And the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Let's be faithful with the truth that God has given us, and invest life on life. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are poor, frail vessels without you. Yet, Lord, you have given us your word. And, Lord, this is the same word that created the universe. And, Lord, we have it, we hold it in our hands here. And, Lord, we have the opportunity to share your truth with others and your word with others. And, Lord, we think about the impact that the believers in the book of Acts do. And Lord, you are the same God then as you are now. And Lord, that same impact, Lord, is available even now. That idea of investing life on life. Lord, I pray that in my life, Lord, in the life of these other believers here tonight, Lord, would you show us, Lord, what is a way that we should be investing life on life? That we should be taking your word, obeying and living it out, but then seeking to encourage and challenge others, to take others under our wing and be a blessing, an encouragement and a challenge. So, Lord, I ask tonight, would you reveal to us, Lord, what you want us to do and obey? Lord, I pray these things in your name.